Macedonia Bree, Club Hebrew. Very happy to have everybody with us, and I'm sure some people will probably be coming up. We are continuing the saga with the Philistines, 1 Samuel chapter 6, and we are at verse 17. Notice we're at a paragraph marker there, so we stopped there last time. Ready to start verse 17, actually. And if you will remember where we left off in verse 16, five leaders of the Philistines saw what had happened to the cart, that it had gone straight to Beth Shemesh. There had been a sacrifice that took place, and the people were all rejoicing. And they returned to Ekron, so they went back into Philistia on that same day and probably reported what they had seen. All right. Now you have kind of a reprisal here in verse 17 before the story moves on. So we're going to start with verse 17. And again, for those of you who are new, if you have any questions, feel free to ask them. We'll take time after each verse to allow for some discussion if you want it. Otherwise, we move right through the text. Verse 17. Ve'ela techoreha zahav asher hevi'u pelishtim asham ladonai. L'Ashdod echad, L'Azah echad, L'Ashkelon echad, L'Gat echad, L'Ekron echad. Okay. These are the techurei. Notice that this is a construct form, plural. It's one we've run across throughout this chapter, the boils. Remember, the boils of gold, hazaav. In English, we'd say the golden boils, which heshivu, which the Philistines returned. Remember, this is a hiphil, from shuv, a hollow verb, hiphil, perfect, third masculine plural, third common plural, which the Philistines returned asham, as compensation. Again, we've seen this language throughout this chapter, as compensation to Yahweh. Okay, now, notice that each boil stood for one city, so that's what you have here. Le'ashdod. For Ashdod, one, and now you have to supply, of course, one golden boil, one, and for Gaza, one, for Ashkelon, one, for Gath, one, for Ekron, one. All right, and it's just, again, reprising what we have already seen in the narrative. Any questions about the grammar, anything that's going on in 17? It's pretty simple. Okay, verse 18. Again, he continues, new paragraph. Ve'ak berehazav mispar kol arei pelishtim lachameshet haseranim meir mitzar ve'ad kofer haperazi ve'ad avel hagerola sher hinichu alecha et daron Yahweh ad hayom hazeh biste Yehoshua beit hashimshi. Okay, now ak berei, that's the mice, akrav, remember? Again, a plural construct, the mice of gold. So the golden mice, and the golden mice, mispar, that's number, from safar to count. So notice you add a mem to a verbal root, you get a noun. Here you have it. So, and as for the golden mice, they were, so you kind of supply the helping verb, or they were the number of all the array, of all the cities of the Philistines. Right, array from ear. All the cities of the Philistines. Lachameshet. That's a construct form of the number five. Chamesha. Okay. Chameshet. That's the construct. So, again, we have a different form for numbers. Sometimes construct, sometimes not. Okay. So, the lamed is a lamed of possession. Belonging to the five seranim, belonging to the five officers. So again, as for the golden mice, they were, according to the number of all the cities of the Philistines, belonging to the five princes. All right. From the Ir, now Ir is city, and Mivzar is a fortified city. Batzar means to fortify, to strengthen. Again, you had a noun. Fortified city, a fortress city. So this Ir Mitzar means fortified cities or walled cities. So from the walled city, Ve'ad, and to the Kofer, to the village of the Perazi. That's a peasant. All right. So, namely, he's really making a distinction between the fortified cities and the unfortified cities, kind of the open villages or hamlets. All right. So, from fortified city to, you would probably translate it to unwalled village, more literally, to the village of the hamlet dwellers. Okay. Okay. Ve'ad Avel. Now, notice that after Avel, you have that footnote, and this is kind of something that almost every translation does. If you look at the footnote, 18a, few manuscripts, including the Septuagint and the Targums, have Evan. Evan means stone. All right, now you'll see almost every translation goes with it because notice we've seen this same construction before. And to the stone, the great stone. Remember, that's the whole thing in the previous section in which there's this big stone at the border. The great stone, which hinichu, what's the root? Anyone? What's that? Sim? Nuach, yes, good. And it is a hifil perfect. Nuach means to rest, intransitive. Intransitive verb becomes transitive in the hifil, to put her to place, which they put on it. Okay, notice this is a great example of a classic relative clause construction. Notice you have the pronoun coming at the end of the relative clause rather than at the beginning, as we would in English. So it's literally, up to the great stone which they put on it. In English you'd have to say, up to the great stone upon which they put. And then you have the object, et Aron, the Ark of the Lord. Okay, up until Hayom Hazeh, up until this day, it is this day in the field of Yehoshua, in the field of Joshua, Beit Hashimshi, the citizen of Beit Shemite, the Beit Shemite guy. Notice that that's a gentilic, Hashimshi with the yud at the end. Okay, questions about verse 18. Now it takes the story takes a turn for a worse after here, after this. Okay? Okay, Paula, we're on verse 19 of chapter 1 Samuel 6. Okay? Alright? Verse 19. Vayak ba'anshe Beit Shemesh. Ki ra'u ba'aron Yahweh. Vayak ba'am shivim ish chamishim elef ish. Vayit ablu ha'am. Ki hika Yahweh ba'am maka gerola. Okay. Vayak. What's the root? You guys all know it. Common root. Yes? It means to hit or to smite. Naka. Notice, if you look at this form, it looks like almost everything's gone. You know the yud is a prefix. So all you got from the root is the kaf. With the, okay, you just got the kaf. So you know the thing is gone at the end. It has to be a third hey. Mm-hmm. And you know that there's a missing first letter. Mm-hmm. And that's either got to be a nun or a yud. And most likely nun, because the nuns assimilate all the time. So there you got your popular word, naka. Yak. Vayak. See it all the time. And he struck. Implied subject is Yahweh. And he struck. Now notice with the verb naka, bait can be either instrumental or it can indicate the object. So you could have something like, he struck et ha'ish. He struck the man beh with a stone or with his fists or something like that. Or it could be, he struck be'anshe. He struck the men. Okay, so he smote, and that's how what it is here, notice. So he struck the men of Beit Shemesh. You have the rabia there, so you pause. Ki, causal, because ra'u, because they had looked ba'aron Yahweh, in the Ark of Yahweh. That is a no-no. We all know this, and they should have known it. They looked, and if you saw Raiders of the Lost Ark, you'd know why.
Your face will melt.
Your face will melt. So they stretched, because they had looked in the Ark of Yahweh. Okay? Now notice you have the repetition of the verb as we've seen very often in this style. So he struck Ba'am, it goes into more detail, he struck among the people, Shivim Ish, 70 men. Notice once again the number here 70 is not in any construct form. The noun, when you have ish or ben or popular nouns like this, they're singular. Even though you don't see ish or shivim anashim. You see shivim ish much more commonly. But we would in English have to translate it, they struck among the people 70 men. Okay. Now this next one, chamishim, is 50 elef ish, 50,000 men. All right. Now notice that the textual thing suggests that many manuscripts leave it out because there's no way they say that it's possible to have 50,000 men at Beit Shemesh. See? So most translations suggest that this is some kind of explanatory gloss or something that got into the text, or they amend the text in some way. Alright, so just be aware of that. Alright. Now, Vayit Ablu, what's the root? Vayit Ablu. Aval, what does it mean? It means to mourn or to lament. And it's a hit pael. And the people lamented. Notice with ha'am you have a collective with a plural verb. Okay. Sometimes you do that, and it's much more common in Hebrew style late in the later books. But here you have it in an earlier narrative. So the people mourned, ki hika Yahweh, for Yahweh had struck Ba'am, the people, a maka gedola. Now you know what maka is, even though you haven't seen it, because you have the verbal root plus a mem, naka. So what's the noun? A blow, right? A blow. So notice this Hebrew syntax characteristic. Very often you have this kind of internal accusative or adjunct. And here to indicate the intensity of the action. So literally it's, for Yahweh had struck the people with a great blow. You could translate it to something more idiomatic like this. For Yahweh had utterly smitten the people, or something like that, see? Because the makkah gedola intensifies the idea in the noun. Alright? Good. Any questions through 19? Any verb forms or anything. Alright? Good. Verse 20. Here's their reaction. Vayomru anshe Beit Shemesh. Then the men of Beit Shemesh said, Mi yukal la'amod lifnei Yahweh ha'elohim ha'kadosh hazeh. Who is able? That's from Yakal. Who is able? Yukal. Alright. La'amod. To stand. What kind of form is this?
Infinitive construct.
Infinitive construct. Call infinitive. Nice form there for y'all. Who is able to stand before Yahweh, the God, the Holy, the this? This Holy God. See? Great question. Ve'el mi ya'aleh. And to whom, ya'aleh, should he go up? From Allah. Everybody see that? Call imperfect. And to whom shall he go up? Me'aleinu, from us. Notice that this is min plus al plus suffix. Hebrew puts together and piles up prepositions like this all the time.
And, go ahead. It would be like from among us.
Yeah, something like that. And so, in other words, they want to get rid of the ark too. All right. Okay. Any questions about verse 20? Any of the forms? Alright, verse 21. Vayishlechu mal akim el yoshvei kiryat ya'arim lemor. So they sent, shalach, everybody see that? So they sent mal akim, messengers, to yoshvei kiryat. Now look at that yoshvei form and tell me what's the root? Yashav, and it means to sit or to dwell. Okay, what form is this? By the A at the end, it tells you it's a construct form, participle used as a noun. Okay? So they sent messengers to the inhabitants of Kiryat Ya'arim. That's the name of the city. Okay? Probably the closest burg after Beth Shemesh. Saying, Heshivu Pelishtim et Aron Yahweh. The Philistines have returned. Notice the root is shuv, another hiphil. We've had a number of those in this reading section already. The Philistines have returned the Ark of Yahweh. All right, now pause. Radu, ha'alu oto aleichem. Now you can guess what they're saying. Radu, what's the root? There's a letter missing, right? It's from Yarad, to go down, and it's an imperative. You have two imperatives here. What's the root of ha'alu? Allah. Hifil imperative. Okay? So notice it's come down, radu, ha'alu, take it to you. So you take it to yourselves. Okay? So come down, get it for you, for yourselves. So they don't even deliver it to them. Alright? They want them to get it. Alright? Notice the two imperatives close together. That usually happens in situations where there's a lot of urgency. See? Come down, get it. Alright, any questions through chapter 6? Alright, chapter 7. Vayavo'u anshei Kiryat Ya'arim, vaya'alu et Aron Yahweh. Okay, so they came, this is from Bo, the men of Kiryat Ya'arim. So the men of Kiryat Ya'arim came, vaya'alu, what's the root? Allah. And notice it has a direct object, so you know right away it's Hifil. And they brought up the Ark of Yahweh. Vayavi'u. Now look at that. What's the root?
Bo.
What conjugation is it? Notice that there's a direct object following it. So it's Hifil. Call means to go. It goes from intransitive in call to transitive in Hifil. To bring. See, or to return. And notice the oto is the direct object. So they brought the Ark of the Lord and they returned it, or they brought it to the house of Abinadab, Ba'giva, on the hill. Giv'ab simply means hill, on the hill. Okay? Ve'et Elazar, and Elazar beno, his son. Okay, now, Kidshu, what's the root?
Kadosh.
Or Kadosh. And what conjugation is it? It's a
P-A-L
form. Good example of a P-A-L, right? Strong verb. You got the dagish in the dalet, preceded by the short hirik. Ah, nice P-A-L. To ordain. Means to sanctify or to set apart. Here in this context. Okay? So, and Eliezer, his son, they ordain. Notice that the object is fronted. It comes first. So they set him apart, lishmor. To guard. Okay, so how does the lamed function here? They set him apart to guard.
Purpose?
Yeah, purpose. In order to guard. See, they set him apart in order to guard the Ark of Yahweh. All right. Verse 2. Vayehi miyom shevet ha'aron bekiryat ya'arim. Now, it came to pass. Okay, usually when you have a vayehi followed by some kind of prepositional phrase, you can bet it's going to be temporal. And you can see with the yom, that even strengthens it. Yep, it's temporal. Alright? So it came to pass from the day of the shevet. What's the root?
Yashav,
infinitive construct. So let's go real wooden. And it came to pass from the day of the dwelling of the ark in Kiryat Ya'arim. Everybody see that? So, in better English, now it happened from the time that the ark settled in Kiryat Ya'arim. Okay, so notice I made the ark the subject of the infinitive construct. So it came to pass from the time that the ark dwelt in Kiryat Ya'arim, comma, remember following that comma, Yirbu Hayamim, the days multiplied. This is from Rava. Call imperfect vav consecutive. Notice the hey, the third root letter drops out when you add the vocalic ending. The days multiplied. Va yitnu, again from Hayah. And they became Esrim Shana, 20 years. Notice again, the years is singular. Okay? And they became 20 years. Everybody, anyone have any questions about the form so far? Okay? Vayinahu, this is from Naha, Nun Hei Hei. Only occurs a few times. This is a Nifal form, and no one knows what it means. Really. So it's something like, and notice it goes with Acharei. And all the house of Israel stuck to or clung to Yahweh. See, so something like this is begins to indicate their devotion to Him. Okay? Let's do one more verse here and then we'll stop. Verse 3. Vayomer Shemuel et kol beit Yisrael lemor. Then Samuel said to all the house of Israel, saying, quote, Im bekol levavkem, if with all your hearts you shavim. What's the root? Shuv, participle plural. If with all your hearts you turn to Yahweh. Okay, now look at this next form. And we have a series of forms like this. Ha siru. It's from the root sur. It's a hifil imperative. Notice the comments under the hay tells you that it's not a perfect. It's an imperative. All right? And Samuel said to all the house of Israel, if with all your heart you return, turn to Yahweh, comma, hashivu, remove et Elohe, the gods of the foreign, the gods of foreignness, the foreign gods, the alien gods, mitok kem, from your midst, and the Ashtarot, okay, that's the feminine Canaanite deity, okay, now no siatnak there, vehakinu, from the root kun, what kind of form is this now? Just go back to the hasiru and you got it made. It's a hifil imperative. And strengthen or establish or set, levavkem, your hearts to Yahweh. Now again, ve'ivduhu. What form is this? Call imperative again. So you have three imperatives. And serve Him alone. Okay? Ve'yatzeil et kem miyad pelishtim. Then He will deliver you. From Natzal, notice again you have a hifil. It's a shortened imperfect. From the hand of the Philistines. Okay. Questions about verse 3. I want to show you this right away. I was going to, as long as I finish it up. Here is a statue, all you guys out in computer land, you just have to visualize. This is a statue of Ashtarte or Ashtaroth, an Ashtaroth, goddess of fertility. And you can see how graphic it is. I'll hand it around. You can just look at it. And then what follows, because Baal comes in a couple verses in this text, here is a stela of Baal, which dates to the 14th or 13th century B.C., and the little caption underneath describes what he is holding and what he looks like. Okay, so you guys can get a little taste of what Samuel is talking about here in this text. All right. So we'll stop with verse 3 and continue with verse 4 next week.